So we're up to the Shach. I have a little brief run tonight. We're going to be doing in 10 minutes, trying to get through whatever we can. We'll probably get a second week. So the Shach was Reb Shapsi HaKoyen. Reb Shapsi HaKoyen, who was born to a father, Reb Meir HaKoyen. Reb Meir HaKoyen was a contemporary of the Megine Shlomo. Megine Shlomo, who was the grandfather of the Pnei Yeshua. The Megine Shlomo, who got his name because he was the defendant of Rashi, who also authored the Shalos HaTshuvos, Pnei Yeshua. When quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, it's not the Pnei Yeshua, because the Pnei Yeshua never wrote Shilas HaTshuvos Pnei Yeshua. Shilas HaTshuvos Pnei Yeshua is from his grandfather, the Megine Shlomo, who... That was his name. Megine Shlomo. He was Rabbi Yeshua. He was named after him. So, that was a contemporary of the father of the Shach. They were all friends. Rabbi Meir HaKoyen, who supposedly his last name, his surname was Ashkenazi, so which was very common in Poland because many people immigrated to Poland from Germany, and they kept that surname Ashkenazi as a zecher of where they came from, and therefore his name was Reb Shapsi HaKoyen Ashkenazi. But it's not really so. The name kind of got dropped, and he was sent to learn by his father's friend, the Megine Shlomo. Now, Shapsi HaKoyen was definitely a skilled person. He definitely had a lot of raw ability, paired with good hasmada and determination and focus. And let's just fast forward for a moment. The Shach that we have nowadays, which is the acronym for Sifsei Kohen, because he was a Kohen, Sifsei Kohen, was written by the time he was 24. So something must have happened from birth to 24. Many of us here are above 24, and anyone who potentially is listening to this may very well be above 24, and we haven't written the Shach yet. Maybe. Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanah one time quipped that he doesn't find it to be such a feat to write Tshuvos of Kiv Eger. Just, he said, I could write it too. Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanah Spector said he could write it too. The only difference is, Rabbi Kiv Eger writes, I got your question yesterday. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanah, it would just take me 3 weeks. So, you know, if anyone here could write the Shach, maybe not by 24, maybe afterwards, but it may take your entire lifetime. But the Shach did it by 24. So he was born in, again, various towns they claim he was born in. And this is, where are we in history? We are in the 1600s, the early 1600s. Yeah? He lived up. Early 1600 means around 1620s. He lived through Tach V'Tach. So that puts you at 1648. 1649, he had a relatively short life. Many, many Svarim or history books claim he didn't make it past his 42nd year of life. It's a pretty short lifespan to have accomplished that much. So, that's Reb Shapsi HaKoyen, who was born in around the 1620s. To his father, Reb Meir HaKoyen, learned by the Megine Shlomo, and then sets out to become the Shach that we know of. Now, he wrote a few things. He wrote Shach on Yoredeya. He wrote the Shach on Chesh HaMishpat. He didn't write on Evan Ezer or Or HaChaim. He wrote a Shach HaAruch, which is a more elongated version of the Shach. Then he also wrote Tukva Koyin, which was apropos for the Koyin that he was. Tukva Koyin, which is a staple in Bar Mitzia. Offhand, I believe that's the extent of it. Now, the relationship, there's a few great stories that go around with him. There's a relationship in how he kind of interfaced or, you know, bumped into the Taz. which is definitely a very fascinating topic, what their relationship was and how many years apart they were. As we mentioned many, many times, he was 36 years younger than the Taz. The Taz was arguably one of the Ziknei Hadar, and he wrote a Pirush. They both wrote their Pirush in the same year. Again, this is the Pirush on Yerodea, because Choshen Mishpat, the Taz didn't really write on. The Shach did, and it was in a different style. Because, again, many of the great Poiskim, they didn't write just to get their names out there. Rather, they wrote as per they saw was needed. So being that the Sma, the Sefer Meir Sanaim, who was a Rishu of Valk, Katz, who was also the Mechaber of the Drisha and the Prisha, who we've spoken about. So being that he already wrote a work on Choshen Mishpat, the Shach actually changed his whole style of how he's mafarish the Shulchan Aruch, and he did not mimic the same way in Yerodeah. But because he felt the Sma already accomplished that role, he didn't need to write a Shach like he did in Yerodeah on Choshen Mishpat, because the Sma was more than sufficient. So he therefore switched. It was more Be'ian. It was more Be'ian going through Sugyas more, as opposed to the Shach in Yerodeah, which was more trying to cut down and cut right to the Halach L'maisa. So they were both printed, both the Shach and the Taz. This is going to have to continue to next week, because this is definitely a much broader topic. And exactly the as we mentioned when we spoke about the Taz, the exact timeline of when each work came out and was or were they in response to the other's work or not. So both the Sifsei Koyin and the Turei Zav were printed in Tafvav. Tafvav, you want to go for it? 1240 plus Tafvav, 1646, right? 2 years, it's easy, 2 years before Tach. So Tach was 1648, Tafvav 1646. It was printed. The Shach had numerous haskamas. Unfortunately, in many of the defusim that we have of Shulchan Aruch, they don't bring all 18 haskamas that the Shach got. And what they wrote about this Boki v'charif, and he was well beyond his years at 24. Now, do the math. If he was 24 and they were 36 years apart, him and the Taz was 60. 60 years old, well-respected, Ravin Lavav, one of the biggest, Lavav Ha'elio in the Galil, or whatever, and comes along the Shach, and they butt heads. So you know right away that this is not going to end without a nice Rischa D'Oraisa, some Melchamta Shalter. So that's where afterwards, there's really the onus lies to try to figure out which work came next. Yeah? There's one work we failed to mention about the Shach. We mentioned Shach on Yerodeah, Shach and Choshen Mishpat, Nekudas HaKesef, and Daf Achron. Right? Kuntros Achron, rather. Daf Achron was the Taz, Kuntros Achron was the Shach. So the Shach wrote two separate works, almost addressing the Taz. One of them was deliberately addressing the Taz. The Kuntros Achron was deliberately addressing the Taz, as was the Nekudas HaKesef. But Nekudas HaKesef, Kishmo Kein Hu, as he writes in the Hakdama, there's a lot to glean from all the Haskamas. Number one, about the Shach and how he was held in such high esteem at such a young age, as well as all of the Hakdamas he wrote about his own Sefer, Nekudas HaKesef. Because, as we know, Turei Zav is a tour of gold, whereas Nekudas HaKesef was his own, which he writes himself in the Akdama, his own recognizing his place as second fiddle to the Gadol HaDor, the Taz. That's why he's the Nekudas HaKesef, which is also a play on the words in the Pasuk. Yeah, it's in the same Pasuk. Nekudas HaKesef in regard to the Turei Zav, and he's always going and defending his psukim, which was post facto because they came out the same year. They did not know about each other's works before they went to print in Tough Vav. They quickly found out about each other's works. The Taz, again, who shot the first fire, the first shot? Who fired the first shot? Unclear. If the Taz wrote Daf Achron first, and then came Nekudas HaKesef, and then came Kudas Achron, I still haven't been able to clarify. Believe that by next week, we'll tell you what we find on that specific point. But just as a cool fact to know that the very often in the Nekudas HaKesef, if you acquaint yourself with some Nekudas HaKesefs, you'll see the Kosav, Adoni Avi Zakeni, Moreinu Verabeinu, something, one of those long Aleph Aleph Mem Vav Resh. Who is he referring to? So the Nekudas HaKesef was actually not completed by the Shach. Some of it was left and completed by his son, Reb Moshe. Right? His father was Reb Meir, he was Reb Shapsi, his son was Reb Moshe. So that's Reb Moshe talking, quoting what his father had told him in his defense of the Shach, of himself. But therefore, just so you know, put it in perspective. So what do we have left? We still have to get to exactly what the timeline was. We're going to try to go through some of those stories, which are definitely fun. You know, Marcus Lehman made them famous. But a lot of his relatives, you may know, of the Panim Iris, came from the daughter or niece of the Shach. Depending on what that story was, they got separated through the journeys of Tach V'Tad and re-met. And then he ended up the homeowner. Okay, we're going to go through the story next week. And we're going to also try to go through a little bit more of the Shach style. To be continued. Shkoyach.